Good evening again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. Glad you're here tonight. I hope you're glad you can hear me better tonight. And it's been a strange week for me, that's for sure. I have really missed being able to sing normally like I usually do. I feel like I'm over here just whispering the whole time while everybody's singing. I've enjoyed the singing immensely, the special music, and all the good hymn singing. It's been a blessing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And let's pray. Father, we are so unworthy of your goodness and your grace. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your long suffering with us. Amen. Forgive us of our sins. Draw us closer to you. Bless your word tonight to our hearts. Give me the words to speak, Lord, to exalt your name, to encourage your people, and Lord, to proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to read something to you. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln, Amen. 1863. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's a troubling passage. It's a troubling phrase. On the one hand, it has a little bit of a sense of satisfaction that the Bible is true. That man is not evolving like science tells us. But it's not getting better.
Amen.
And that gives us encouragement to know that we are preaching the truth, that this Bible is really the book that came from God, that its prophecies ring true time after time. But at the same time, it's like, you know, when you tell your kids that if they don't do right, they're going to get in trouble, and they do wrong, and then you're right, but you don't want to be right. It's true. But it's not really encouraging. It's not really, it doesn't fill us with joy to know that this world is just falling apart. And especially if you've got young kids, young grandkids, great grandkids, and great great grandkids, you just start realizing how much worse is it going to get. And you start wondering, how are they going to make it in this wicked, wicked world? Yeah, things are getting worse. They've been getting worse for a long time. Man has been trying to live without God for a long time, and we're finding out that that's not the answer.
Amen.
You may have been trying to live without God for a long time still. You may be still trying to live without God. It's not going to work. Perilous times shall come. And they are perilous times. I mean, our families are in trouble. Our marriages are being attacked right and left. Society is in a mess. Our schools are cesspools. Our country, and we love so much and so dear, we think correctly that it's the greatest country in the world. But wow, we sure would wish it was better.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It sure could be in better shape. Perilous, these are perilous times, no matter how you look at it. And it's also a troubling passage because I fear that there are several different reactions to this phrase that can really be detrimental to us personally, to our homes, to our churches. Like, oh well, can't do anything about it. I don't like it. That's how it is. I'm not so sure that's the right attitude. Or, well, it's just going to get worse. Yeah, it's bad. If you read what Abraham Lincoln said, you'd think he wrote that yesterday. So, if it was bad then, and it's worse now, it's going to get worse. So, the danger of just becoming desensitized to it, you just get used to it. Say, well, I'll just hang on. And he's just not as bad as it could be, you know.
Amen.
But then I also get really concerned about the attitude sometimes we have, like, well, the things that we used to worry about, they weren't so bad. You ever heard that one? We kind of laugh at our parents, don't we? And they used to get mad about us listening to Elvis Presley, you know? I mean, come on. And that's what worries me. That we've become a people that think that since things aren't as bad as they could be, that we'll just try to find this something to be happy about and think that the ones that were before us were just had much to do about nothing. It really wasn't that bad. And that's dangerous. Because if we think that the way it used to be wasn't so bad, well, guess what? Our children and our grandchildren are going to start saying. And they start saying, well, it's not so bad now, Dad. It's going to get worse. Well, that doesn't fill me with joy. That doesn't make me happy. That doesn't make me just, you know, jump for joy that it's going to get worse, so I'll just have to get used to this. You know, you've heard all the phrases. Well, at least they're not smoking pot, you know. At least they're not doing this. At least they're not doing that. Society is in a mess. We've lost our moral compass.
Amen.
Don't know which way is up. Don't know what's right from wrong anymore.
Amen.
We let society tell us what's right and wrong. Perilous times shall come. And of course, we know these words were inspired 2,000 years ago. And so, for a long time, there have been people reading this. Many of us have been reading it for years, thinking, how much worse can it get? I mean, if my dad were alive today, I'm sure he would say, I never thought it would come to this.
Yeah.
Don't you think that?
Yes, sir.
You used to be worried about your kids smoking, right? Now you got kids being told that they can decide whether they're a boy or a girl. It doesn't really matter.
Amen.
They can choose that. And then you find yourself saying, well, I should have been worried about the smoking. Yeah, you should have been worried about the smoking and about the drinking and about everything else. Just because it could get worse, it doesn't mean we're going to just sit back and say, well, then it's not so bad now. Because it is bad now.
Amen.
Men shall be lovers of their own selves. What a way to start off. He gives us the signs of the perilous times. How do we know when it's going to be perilous times? Out of the starting gate. Lovers of their own selves. Is that an oxymoron or what? I thought love was, according to the Bible, charity seeketh not her own. So we're talking about love. It cannot be anything to do with self. Because then it's not love.
Right.
Lovers of your own self? Are you kidding me? You think that's why God created you? To love yourself? I mean, it's so pitiful that 30 years ago, I visited, I do not know why, must have been a tourist attraction. I visited the Crystal Cathedral. Ever heard of that place? I do not know why we went there. But I remember to this day, so it was an education. We walked into this bookstore. All these books written by Reverend Robert Schuller. Self-love. The title of the book, Self-Love. Let's Feel Good About Ourselves. That was another book he had. He had two or three, there was at least three that I noticed. I forgot the third one now, but self. Self. Please yourself. And that's how it is today. It is getting much worse. Self-gratification is it. That's what it's all about. No wonder we've got kids on dope all the time. No wonder we got kids hooked on pornography and everything else because we're told you live for self. You please yourself. It's not about pleasing God. It's not about loving your neighbor. It's not about pleasing your neighbor. It's about pleasing yourself. Self-esteem. And that's an important one. You gotta feel good about yourself. Selfie! Yeah! Now I'm stepping on toes. It's all about you, isn't it? It's all about how you look. It's all about where you were and what you've done. It's me. Lovers of their own selves. My life. My road. My money. My will. My space. My profile. My everything. Me, me, me. Perilous times. Because we're just filled with ourselves, in love with ourselves. Society tells us, yeah, watch out for number one because nobody else will. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. I am no expert on the matter of covetousness. I know that we're probably all covetous to a certain degree.
Amen.
And it's probably quite true that America has become a very, very, very covetous nation because of our prosperity and our enjoyment of our freedom. But you know, covetousness is still idolatry in the Bible.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed. You may boast that you're not an idolater. You've been delivered from idolatry. You don't bow down and worship images anymore. You don't pray to idols. You don't pray to baby Jesus or the Virgin Mary. But covetousness is still idolatry. Is anything that takes your time and your attention away from the God who created you is idolatry. Whether it's money, whether it's sports, whether it's fun, games, whatever it may be. But covetousness is a sign of the end times. And we have become, no doubt, very covetous. I'll skip a couple. Then it says blasphemers. Blasphemers. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Amen.
His name is a holy name.
Amen.
We're supposed to worship His name. We're supposed to bless His name. We're supposed to exalt His name. We're supposed to preach in His name. We're supposed to pray in His name. But we're not supposed to take His name in vain. We're not supposed to treat His name like a byword. I don't know about you, but when I was raised, it was wrong to say, oh my God. It was wrong to say, Jesus Christ. It was wrong. Have we become so desensitized that now we mask it all? OMG! Now it's not so bad anymore, is it? WTF! What are you talking about? What in the world is happening? Even among so-called Christians.
Amen. All right.
Blaspheme. Blasphemy. Filthiness. What was it that we say? Oh, well, at least what? At least you're not killing people? At least you're not a corrupt politician. Have we lowered the bar of morality so far And now we have this theory of relativity. You know, we have our own theory of relativity. As long as I can find somebody that's got a filthier mouth than me, I'm okay. As long as I can find someone who watches more filth than I do, then I'm okay to watch the filth that I watch. It's all relative. At least I'm not doing what they're doing. At least my kids aren't watching what they're watching.
All right,
at least my kids don't talk like those kids do.
Amen.
And that makes it okay. And you let them get away with things that your parents never let you get away with. Have you ever realized that the things you tolerate, your kids are going to accentuate?
All right, amen.
This is the natural digression of human nature. It just gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't get better. Society is not getting holier, not getting cleaner.
Amen.
Well, at least they're not drinking hard liquor. At least I'm not getting drunk every weekend. I just drink socially. It's all relative, right? That's the problem with the idea that, well, it's going to get worse. You have no excuse to take part in it getting worse. No excuse at all. I don't, you don't, nobody does.
Amen.
And just in case you don't agree, just in case you think that this theory of relativity actually makes sense, let me read you a verse. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. I could read a whole bunch more, but I'll just read this one. I think you'll get the message. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Which Amen. Word do you not understand?
Amen. Amen.
What do you think let no means? You need to find out what it says in the Greek to make to understand it. No. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
Oh, you think because you type it, it's okay? I mean, honestly, that's how deceitful sin is. You make excuses. Oh, I didn't write that. I just forwarded that. It wasn't me. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
Zero tolerance is what I understand that to be. Zero. Our text says the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, blasphemers, filthy mouths, disgusting words coming out of people's mouths. Oh, they're just words. You know what? God takes words quite seriously. He takes your speech quite seriously. He treats the sins of the tongue quite seriously. You better think about that. And it says, disobedient to parents. Yeah. Got to get the kids involved, right? These bad kids. Guess where bad kids come from? Guess where bad kids come from? You think parents have nothing to do with bad kids? Listen to this. I got some instructions for you tonight. 12 steps. How to raise a juvenile delinquent. Number one, begin in infancy to give the child everything he wants. In this way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Self. When he picks up bad words, laugh at him. This way, he'll think he's cute. Never give him any spiritual training. Wait till he's 21. And then let him decide for himself. Avoid the use of wrong. He may develop a guilt complex. This will condition him to believe later when he's arrested that society is against him and he is being persecuted. Pick up everything he leaves lying around. Do everything for him so that he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Take his part against neighbors, teachers, and policemen. They're all prejudiced against your child. Quarrel frequently in the presence of your children. In this way, they won't be so shocked when the home is busted. Give the child all the spending money he wants. Never let him earn his own money. Satisfy his every craving for food, drink, and comfort. See that his every sensual desire is gratified. Let him read any printed material and listen to any music he can get his hands on. Be careful that the silverware and drinking glasses are sterilized, but let his mind feast on garbage. When he gets into real trouble, apologize to yourself by saying, I could never do anything with him. And number 12, prepare for a life of grief. You will likely have it. Disobedient to parents. Guess why? Because society tells us that this is what we have to do. Let them be their own. Don't force your will upon them. Don't say something's wrong. Use positive reinforcement. You know, like, if you're nice, I'll go buy some ice cream. That's real smart. Next week, it'll be two ice creams. Before long, you'll have a kid that can bargain with you. I've had people tell me that you shouldn't tell kids no. You shouldn't tell kids not to do certain things. You ought to, in fact, move everything out of the way so they have no possible access to anything that they shouldn't have. Whether it's something breakable, something bad, something dangerous. I mean, just remove everything out of the way. Then I realized one day that God put Adam and Eve in right in the middle of the garden and said, don't touch that tree. Why didn't he move the tree out of the way? Put a fence around it. You know, put up on a big mountain. They couldn't get to it. God wants to teach us something. We have a responsibility to teach our kids what's right and wrong.
Amen.
And if you want to give your kids half a chance to make it, you better make sure you use discipline.
Yes, sir.
You better make sure you teach them what's right and wrong.
Amen.
But time is getting away.
Amen.
Our text says, without natural affection.
Yep.
Abortion. I cringe. I am embarrassed. I live overseas where abortion is still against the law. Is that crazy?
Yes.
Is that ludicrous? I live in Europe. And most people still think it's wrong to kill babies. In this great country kills millions of babies. I don't know how many millions we've killed over there. I don't even know the figures. They're bad though. They're terrible. It embarrasses me to say that I'm an American when the subject of abortion comes up. Perilous times. Homosexuality. When I was in elementary school, this may be a confession of naivety or stupidity. I had no idea. Maybe I was just sheltered. I don't know. When I was in elementary school, like 1975 or 6, I used the word gay in a normal way. Like the word is supposed to be used. I can remember what I was saying to my friends. And boy, did I get ridiculed. I had no idea what it was. Again, maybe I was just naive. But nowadays, homosexuality, it's like the norm. I mean, people are treating it like it's perfectly normal. Even in churches. You gotta be kidding me. I mean, you're serious? You got churches that are like pro-homosexual churches? Homosexual pastors? I don't understand what people are... It doesn't even make sense to me. It's got to be demonic. There's no other explanation in my mind. Without natural affection. But then we had to... plague of pornography.
Amen.
And we go back to the theory of relativity. Well, we're against homosexuality. So pornography is okay. No, it's not okay.
Amen.
Never was okay. Never will be okay. That's not natural. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Not once. Zero tolerance. Zero. It's not difficult to figure that out. Unless you just kind of feel like going easy on yourself and feel like consoling yourself, and well, at least it's not like it could be. No, it's not. But it's not like it should be either. Not once. Uncleanness, fornication, verse 4, neither filthiness. Not once. Our text says also in 2 Timothy, verse 3, incontinent, no self-control. No self-control. Do whatever you want. You've got the freedom. You can do what you want, drink what you want, smoke what you want, say what you want, go where you want. And then we say, what's this world coming to? Because we're not teaching anybody self-control. We teach kids they can have whatever they want. Watch what they want. Eat what they want. Stay as long as they want. Go where they want. Have the friends they want. Listen to what they want. Watch what they want. And then when they get older, they wonder why they have no self-control. Ephesians chapter 3. Actually, chapter 5, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You think that says, be not drunk with wine. Just have a little bit. It says, be filled with the Spirit. We're supposed to be under the influence of something else. Not alcohol, not drugs, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. But we're becoming a society that has no self-control. Can't say no to anything. Road rage. It says here incontinent, and then it says fierce. Put those two things together, you got a recipe for disaster. I am sure that our parents and grandparents never thought they'd see the day when road rage was really a problem. Or movie theater rage, or gas station rage. I mean, come on! What is going on? No self-control.
Amen.
Go back to the very first. Love is their own self.
Right.
It's all about you. You don't have to control yourself if you don't want to. Just do what you want. It scares me to think how we can become desensitized to the wickedness in this world.
Amen.
And I'll say it again. I know at times we think, well, you know, could be worse. Doesn't make it right.
That's right, amen.
I didn't say anything. I just gave him the finger. What? Well, he deserved it. And it says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Amen.
Oh, boy. Now I'm stepping on toes.
Amen.
Lovers of pleasures. It's my money, my time, my life, my right. I have the right to love pleasure, we think. You do not have the right to love anything more than God. not pleasure, not money, not anything. It doesn't say lovers of sin. It says lovers of pleasure. I think that hits all of us. Oh man, we just like having fun. I like having fun. I enjoy having a lot of fun. We shouldn't love pleasure more than God.
Amen.
We shouldn't love TV more than God. We shouldn't love our hobbies more than God. We shouldn't love sports more than God. We shouldn't love anything more than God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Ouch. And we're religious. We know all the great lingo. Out of the same mouth proceedeth cursing and blessing.
Amen. Amen.
These things ought not so to be, the Bible says.
Amen.
Religious. But no power.
Amen.
To change, to transform, to sanctify, to make you holy. That's scary.
Amen.
We pride ourselves in being a Christian nation. Religious nation. Could it just be a form? Could it just be a show?
Yes, sir.
Just to look good? Cross. All the nice little trinkets. All the nice little, messages. Well, we can mask our wickedness.
Amen.
With religious lingo so easily. God knows your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Can't fool Him. Carnal churches. Churches where the prosperity gospel is what's important. Not about winning souls, not about glorifying God, it's all about you. Covetousness, self-love, making you happy, making you rich, making you feel comfortable. We wouldn't want you to feel uncomfortable. We wouldn't want you to feel guilty, right? That's what a lot of churches are coming through these days. Entertainment. Yeah, we got to entertain them. We don't entertain them, they won't come back. We don't give them something cool, they won't come back. We got to get the latest fad, the latest music, the latest whatever. Fleshly music to make them feel good. They don't even know they've been in church. I don't want that. I want them to know they've been in church. I want them to know they've been to hear the Word of God. And then, verse 13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, hang on. We're not evolving. I would like to think that we're changing the world. And I'm afraid the world is changing us. And that worries me. Worries me about my kids. About my grandkids. So, what can we do? Is it like, oh well, just hang on? Well, verse 14 says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue. It doesn't say if you can't beat them, join them. It doesn't say, well, when it gets rough, make some compromises. Go along with the crowd. Try to fit in. Try not to be too weird. Continue in the things that thou hast learned.
Amen.
Is anybody here that is saved that has any doubts about what we've learned from the Word of God? Because if you do, you'll have a problem with this verse. It says continue. Continue. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep fearing God.
Yeah.
Keep honoring God. Keep pleasing God. Keep loving God.
Amen.
Keep reading His Word.
Amen.
Keep praying for your children.
Amen.
Keep praying for your grandchildren.
Amen.
Keep praying for your country.
Yeah.
Keep praying for your schools. Pray for your teachers. Continue.
Amen.
He didn't say, well, just hang on. Continue. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I don't know about you, but I know who taught me this stuff. This stuff didn't come from man. This came from God. And what we see unfolding before us is proof that it came from God. Why would we even wonder what we should do? Continue.
Amen.
Keep going.
Amen.
And that from a child who has known the Holy Scriptures. Do you realize how much this book can help your kids? Your grandkids. You have any idea what this can do? That's the best gift you give your children, is to read them God's Word on a daily basis. They can do without a lot of stuff, but this is something they need every day. Chapter 4 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. What else can you do?
Amen.
Preach the Word.
Amen.
Not just read the Word, preach the Word. Not preach what's popular, preach the Word.
Yes.
Not preach your opinion, preach the Word.
Right.
What part of that do you not understand? Preach the Word.
Amen. Be
instant, in season, out of season. When it's popular and when it's not.
Right.
When somebody listens and when they don't.
Amen.
When they're mocking you and when they're understanding you. And they're believing you. In season, out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He saved his family, by the way.
Amen.
He didn't just save himself. He saved his whole family. How about your family? You know, make sure you get them on the boat. You need preaching righteousness. You need to stand up for what's right and what's clean and what's holy and what's just. And you're going to just sit back and say, well, could be worse. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, all long-suffering and doctrine. You know what this world needs? It needs more preaching. I know they don't want it. They never have wanted it. I don't think they wanted it in Noah's day. Some tells me that that boat only had 8 people because nobody else wanted to get on. It's never been popular to preach righteousness. But that's what this world needs. It needs preachers. Preaching Jesus Christ. Preaching against sin. Preaching against drunkenness, homosexuality, pornography. Amen. Preaching against selfishness, covetousness, Amen. Filthiness, wickedness, fornication. And any other sin you can think of that you've got in your own heart. The world needs it too. We all need it. Preach the Word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That sounds like Christian folk not wanting to hear sound doctrine. That sounds like church-going folk. They say, no. We're going to go down the road. This is too hard. I don't like seeing anyone going down the road because what I preach is too hard. But I'm not going to change it. They won't go down the road.
Amen.
And before you go on down the road, you better ask yourself why you're going down the road. Yeah, sometimes it is tough. Sometimes it does hurt. You know what the alternative is? Go back to chapter 3, verse 1. Perilous times. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This world loves fables. It loves those bedtime stories. Once upon a time, millions and millions of years ago, they love fables. You know what the problem is? It's just a fable. And it has done no good for society. It has not helped our homes. It has not helped our marriages. It has not helped our schools. It has not helped our society, our country. We're in perilous times because we've turned to fables. You know, I don't know where you stand on all these matters. I hope and pray that you're standing on the right side. But wherever it is you are, you better make sure you're on the right side.
Yes, sir.
However good you think you are, however well organized your plan and your life is, you better make sure you're on God's side. You may need to renew some commitments to God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You may need to renew some convictions.
Amen.
Remember that word? It used to be a pretty popular word. Convictions. I read about a guy in the book of Jeremiah told his sons, we're not going to be drinking wine. You know what they did? They kept those convictions. Oh, those are my dad's convictions. I can't have those. What's wrong with that? Maybe you ought to have some of your dad's convictions. Amen. Maybe you need to make some of your own.
Yes, sir.
Pass them on to your kids.
Amen.
Maybe you need to get fired up about preaching the Word.
Yeah, we do. Amen.
Maybe you need to get fired up about standing up for what's right.
Amen.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is that why you don't want to preach? Is that why you don't want to stand up for what's right and against what's wrong?
Amen.
Maybe you need to get serious about preaching the gospel.
Yes, sir.
About winning souls. About snatching a few out of the fire. You may not win the world. Can you win one? Can you win one? If you can win one, then the two of you can win two. And you keep on going. And if you win one, there is more joy in the presence of the angels than over 99
Amen.
That don't need repentance.
Amen.
One is one. How many are you? Aren't you glad someone told you?
Amen.
And you think that you're the last one. Maybe you need to get serious about preaching the gospel. Trying to win people. Trying to give them the hope that you have. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've bought into this lie of the devil. And it's all about you. Maybe you think that life is just living it up. Pleasure, fun, freedom, rebellion, sin, religion. I don't know your heart. I know one thing. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know His forgiveness, you'll die and go to hell, whether you're religious or not. Because you don't need religion to go to heaven. In fact, religion is a hindrance. That ought to be good news for you. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of religion. I'm sick and tired of the showiness of religion. I'm sick and tired of the hypocrisy of religion. You don't need religion to come to God. You just got to come to Him.
You,
confess
Lord.
Your sins. And ask Him to save you. Admit that you're a sinner.
Amen.
Admit that you're not as good as you think you are.
Amen.
You're a whole lot worse than you think you are.
Yes, sir.
And believe that Jesus Christ already died in your place. Call on His name and ask Him to save you. You know what? He will. He really will. He's done it countless times. They thought it would just go away. They thought they'd put Him on a cross and He'd go away. He didn't go away. He's here to stay. And He'll save you. He'll forgive your sins today. If you'll just call on His name. Ask for mercy. Ask for His grace. Trust in Him, not in your religion. Trust in Jesus and He'll save you. Like I said, I don't know where your heart is tonight. I know that God is merciful if we just come to Him. I don't believe in this mentality of, you know, God accepts you just like you are. I think God will receive you as you are. I'm not sure it means God accepts you as you are. Now that may sound confusing to you, but I don't think it means God accepts homosexuality. He will receive a homosexual. He will receive a murderer. He will receive an adulterer.
Amen.
He will receive a fornicator.
Amen.
But you got to come to Him and admit it. Amen. Confess it as sin and He'll receive you.
Amen.
But don't buy this philosophy, well, God just loves me just like I am. No, He doesn't. He loves righteousness.
Amen.
He doesn't love wickedness.
Amen.
He hates wickedness. So if something's not right, don't console yourself and say, well, that's just how I am and God accepts me. No, He doesn't. He'll accept you because of His Son. But you've got to come to Him on your knees, confess your sins to Him, and get right with Him. Wherever you are, wherever your heart is, you've got to confess your sin to God. And He will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Seek the Lord while He may be found.
Amen.
Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked, what? Just come? No. Forsake His way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. And let him return to our God. He will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
You need a pardoning today?
Yes, sir. Amen.
He'll pardon you. You need to get your heart right? He'll receive you.
Amen.
Come to Him. Perilous times. What's your attitude? You going to continue? Or are you going to just console yourself? Saying, well, could be worse. It could get worse. But not, it doesn't have to be that way in your own heart. Your heart can stay humble before God. Get it right before God.
Amen.
Amen.